Blog Talk Radio.
Aloha. Welcome to Talking Pictures with Paul Booth. I'm your host, and tonight we're joined by
Carolyn Booth.
She's one of our co-executive producers, and tonight she'll also be guest hosting.
I think I'm your mom, too, right?
Yeah,
she's my mom. Plus, it's Mother's Day this week.
Next week, yeah.
Yeah. So, do you have anything you want to tell them?
No, we're going to talk about TCM. Turner Classic Movies took place, I guess it was last weekend. Yeah, it was last weekend. Sorry, the weekend was really weird and interesting. It took place on the 27th, 28th, at 9th. They had venues at the Egyptian, the Man's Chinese Six, and Club TCM, which is in the Roosevelt. They also had, sorry, I have two windows open here that I have to be able to go to different windows. Also the TCL Chinese Theater IMAX, and the Arclight Cinerama Dome, which is down on Sunset, which is those famous photos you see of the Star Wars opening with people around the corner. Carolyn was able to attend two events that she wanted to talk about. I wanted to just tell you guys about some of the, sure, you know, rap shows. Sometimes people are like, well, the festival's passed, but we want to make sure that you guys know who was there. And you guys can pay attention to some of these names. Hopefully they're names that you haven't discovered their work, so you can go out and discover it, because that's the point of TCM, is preserving films and paying attention to the past. So the main thing we're going to kick off, Carolyn got to see the entire video, is the Robert Osborne Award. For all of us TCM lovers, or those of you, some didn't pay attention to his name, who was introducing the films, that's okay too. Now's your chance to learn. Robert Osborne was the lead nighttime host, all those introductions that you saw, and after the films, he'd tell us stuff. Unfortunately, he passed away last year, and this year they came up with a Robert Osborne Award, and it was with the creation of his award, they wanted to create an annual award, which will be presented at TCM Classic Festival. For someone who has helped keep the cultural heritage of classic film alive, thriving for generations to come. Turner Classic Movies has been on for 23 years. He worked for them for 22. His passion for film and wealth of knowledge helped preserve the legacy of film. I shared in episode one, so if you want to go in the archives, my story, my personal story about meeting him, which I've never shared on air, and I've only told two or three people, so I want you guys to go back to the preview and listen. What a gentleman. Then the other cool thing is, and this is where Carolyn will take over, Leonardo DiCaprio introduced the Robert Osborne Award because the first recipient was Martin Scorsese, who, of course, was a friend of TCM, a friend of Robert Osborne. But what people don't know is that in 1990, Scorsese founded the Film Foundation. He's helped to restore over 800 films, making them available to classic and independent films that were going to be lost. He expanded the Film Foundation's work globally to have the World Cinema Project. And he's been, I guess you could call it, fighting with film stock companies since the 70s over their the lack of prints, that they take the way to take care of it, and films that are literally gone forever. So this was a great chance to see that Martin Scorsese is not just the director of Goodfellas and Raging Bull, but he's really at heart a film lover and film historian. So I got a press clip of this, a 30-second press clip of this award, but Carolyn, the film she attended, got to see the entire, not live, but a video of the entire speech, an introduction from Mr. DiCaprio and Mr. Scorsese. So, Carolyn, please tell us about that.
Well, you pretty much covered it.
No, I didn't cover what they said.
I'm kidding. No, it was such an honor to be there for this first award. I mean, I wasn't there the actual night. I happened to be there on a Friday night. And so because of time schedules for the recipients and the award givers and the festival stuff. So they had Mr. Scorsese's award was given to him on Thursday night. So the people that were in attendance on Friday night, they gave us a special treat to actually watch the acceptance speech. It was really interesting because, like Paul said earlier, he's not just a filmmaker. He's a film historian. He's a film. He has passion for film. I mean, I think he's watching films all day long. I mean, he just loves film. He loves how it helps the human race and all of it. So, but what he was most gracious about was the fact that Mr. Osborne unfortunately passed last year, like Paul said, that he's been given the honor of being the first recipient. And because of his work for preserving film and really, I mean, some of the old film, if it wasn't for these guys in the 70s that wanted to start preserving it, we really would be not having that to look back on. And it's a shame because Turner Classic movies are just amazing. If you have a chance, you know, it took me a while to kind of get in the groove of watching the movies about 10 years ago. And once I did, I was hooked, you know. A lot of them, it's interesting because a lot of the movies that you may like now in our generation, it were really kind of remakes from that generation. And you don't realize until you see the movie and you watch a Turner Classic movie, and you go, whoa, that's like, and you're like, whoa, that's where they got influence from. Or, you know, there's only so many stories to tell, and it's how you tell them.
Did he talk about the importance of films, no matter what, capture, like you could see at least captured the way people were talking, the way they dressed?
Absolutely.
That's the importance of
right,
film.
And that's the importance of it, because I think too, if you're, say, fast forward 50 years and you're studying film of the last 150 years going backwards, you can really see what society how society has changed. You know, you can see in the dress, you can see in the mannerisms, you can see in the actions, you can see in the verbiage, you know. So it's very, very interesting. And I think that's another reason why he works so hard to keep, one of the reasons why he works so hard to have this preservation is to not just for the artist or the artistry, but to also be able to use it as a historian forum to see, you know, what were people driving? What were people wearing? What were people doing? And even if it's in a black and white, you still get the idea, you get the feeling, you get the concept. So I'm just so grateful that I was there to, you know, see it in its entirety, his acceptance. And it was such a pleasant surprise. And I was really happy for the woman that I had met that evening. I think she's been on your show before.
She's been on a few times, yeah. Alexa Foreman.
Yes.
She actually named our show. So.
Yeah, it was her film. And this came prior to her film. So the audience that came for her was actually given a treat for that. So I'm happy to, because Ms. Foreman's also been very active in the behind the scenes of supporting and contributing and being there for Turner Classic Movies and for Mr. Osborne. They were, he was a great support to her and in her cause and vice versa. So, yeah, it was a very, I enjoyed it. It's kind of like a flashback in time. You're in this amazing room and you're in Hollywood, you know, and, you know, across the street is that store that sells everything for under $5 or something, you know. So you have the tourist thing going down the street, but you also have that sense of history and, you know, of these actors that it was clearly about, you know, this was prior to these, you know, the big paychecks that are getting paid now and the big blockbusters and all that stuff. This is when people worked and it was their craft and somebody saw something in their mannerisms and their, you know, their persona and their abilities. And so I'm really a great supporter of Turner Classic Movie, and I'm very grateful that they extended this privilege and honor for us to come to it. So I'm new to this business in terms of the whole movie industry, but yet I am a fan and I am a human being, and I get much joy from watching and seeing what people are doing with this artistry, because it's like a canvas coming alive. A movie's a canvas coming alive because they actually start like with storyboards and written paper, and you know, and now it's like three dimensional. So it's amazing. It's a good cause they had, and congratulations to Mr. Sorcesis. And
well,
if you know him, we'd love to have him on our show.
Oh yeah,
would that be awesome?
Exactly,
that would be awesome.
Well, not to correct you, I was corrected, and someone let me know that it's actually Scorsese. And
right,
everybody says Scorsese,
right,
and I do it. Everyone does it.
Yeah,
but
I try to say it correctly.
And he, right now, just a quick plug on Amazon Prime, before it goes down for free, it's called History of American Cinema, but the real name is A Personal Journey Through American Cinema with Martin Scorsese. It's a 5-hour documentary of him talking about his favorite films, and think that that's 5 hours edited. And they have it named History of American Cinema. And I would have skipped by this, but I saw the photo and I said, hey, that's the photo of the documentary he made. Well, this disappeared. It was on VHS. He made it to preserve films and talk about films. And it didn't get taken to DVD. So it vanished. And so it popped up on Amazon Prime. So I just want to say that you guys really need to see this. Sure, 5 hours, put aside an hour a night. It will, you look up History of American Cinema, you'll see Martin Scorsese, and then it's actually called A Personal Journey Through American Movies. He talks about remembering seeing movies on television when he was 6 and what his favorite films were when he was 10, and it's just really amazing. So Robert Osborne couldn't have been a bigger movie lover. A little bit of his backstory coming up this week on TCM. Go through your program guide for his version of private screenings. He was interviewed by Alec Baldwin. He made his way by just kind of being a film journalist. And then he was mentored by Lucille Ball. And he just started to become that guy that movie stars trusted. And then he just kind of worked his way into the business there. And he's actually the only person who's licensed and has copyright permission to write Oscar books. And he has a 65th, 70th, 75th, he put out the 85th 2 years ago, then died. And the 85th one is so interesting because the films are like the last 10 years. So you look at it and it's a film that you totally remember. It's not like the ones where you look up a film in the 40s, you have to Wikipedia it, maybe you saw it once. It's like No Country for Old Men. I saw that 5 times. I saw that 5 years ago. So check out the 85th edition. Go to your library before it vanishes. So that for the Robert Osborne and also Alexa, we won't share them. She probably shared some great stories. They were close friends for over 2 decades. So when she came on the show, my interview with her, I was kind of tiptoed around it because, again, she lost a friend. Just to tell you quickly some of the special guests that were there, and then we'll have Carolyn talk about the panel and give a brief review of Alexa's film because we're going to do another episode. They had historians, costume designers, documentarians, producers. Jeff Bridges was there. John Carpenter, Caleb Deschanel, who is just an amazing cinematographer. He shot The Right Stuff. Hal Ashby's being there. It lists DiCaprio, but he was only there for that award. And Taylor Hackford, who, of course, directed Ray. Chuck Berry's Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll. James Ivory was there. Callie Khouri, which we'll use that to lead into the panel. But all these people come out. Leonard Maltin, the film critic. And then Ben Mankiewicz, who you guys will recognize as the daytime host with the glasses. I think it was his great-great-uncle wrote Citizen Kane. So they did a Mankiewicz panel because he comes from a house of political journalists. So what I think somehow he's related to, I think his uncle writes House of Cards. Another one is a Dateline NBC correspondent. And then he's a Turner Classic Movies host. He's a very nice guy too. I've met him a few times as well. So I'm going to go back to the film schedule here just so I can get the exact what the panel was about. And then we'll have Carolyn talk about it. Now, again, all opinions that we share are that of the show, and we're in no way knocking TCM, but there was some things We wouldn't say the panel was bad or wasn't enjoyable, but it was an interesting learning experience as a reporter. Wouldn't you say, Carolyn?
Oh, yeah.
Of what to pay attention to. All I'm going to say is the synopsis is a panel of women who were going to talk about their inspiration from classic films. And it was Kelly Curry, best known for writing Thelma and Louise, Oscar winner. And now we'll let Carolyn take over on the panel. Writers Guild Foundation Women of the Year.
Right. But it was all, there's another synopsis I read too that had some more details. I really thought that it was going to really talk about, it's funny now because I'm acting like the feeling that I got from the panel. I felt like it was kind of a vague in some regards, but basically what I got out of it was that, you know, there is this whole women's movement of equal rights, equal pay, and so on and so forth, and which is very important. Don't get me wrong by what I'm saying. But I wish they had talked more about how the struggles they went to be, you know, in a male dominated profession. But when I did my own research, I realized this, it kind of actually started as a female. A female was very active in setting up a studio 100 years ago during the silent movies. And then when the people saw that it could be make money, that's when, you know, a lot of the guys jumped on board because it became a business. And it wasn't just, I mean, they're not just having a hobby by recording or acting out little vignettes, you know. So I think that this is going to be a conversation we're going to have for a long time. I think it's good that that there are panels. It was interesting to kind of hear a panel of women that have been in the business for a good number of years. You know, they have worked their tail off to get to where they are. And they keep going. But I think what I walked away from it was, no matter what you do, whether you're in the movie industry or you're a chef or you're whatever your profession is, you know, just be as strong as you can be, do the best that you can do, you know, keep plugging forward. When things get a little rough, speak up, use your voice, you know, don't just go with the status quo. If you don't like what's going on, you got to speak up, or you got to leave, or you got to make some other choices. So that was kind of like the undertone that I took away for myself. I guess it was just, there wasn't enough time. It was about an hour, 45 minute panel.
Right.
And there was just a diverse amount of women on the panel. One of the ladies wrote Beauty and the Beast because she worked for Disney, and she wanted it, she wanted the animation stories to be more than just, you know, the slipper fits and you get Prince Charming. So, you know, kudos to her. So, you know, you have a dream, go after it. And sometimes you don't know where it's going to take you. Just like, what's the lady's name that wrote Thelma and Louise?
Kelly Curry.
She also wrote Nashville, and she didn't expect it to be as popular as it was. It's not that she didn't want it to be that way, but she just wrote this, you know, pilot. And then next thing you know, they want season one and then season two. And so, I mean, basically, you don't know where your path's going. You got to just keep going, you know, so.
And sorry, just one thing. We want to make sure that people know that's Nashville, the TV show, not the Robert Altman movie, because Kelly Curry was probably not alive or was a little girl.
Right,
so I just
wanted
you guys to be clear on that.
I guess that's where I got vague too. It was that, because we did flip a lot of times from movies to TV because the industry's changing. So.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway.
Well, and just so you guys know, just a couple of things that played, which if you have not seen, I'm going to mention these just so you know. It was really cool. It was a good schedule this year. Unique. Usually the stuff kind of matches. This was kind of all over the place. His Girl Friday. If you don't know screwball comedies, get into those. Look up Howard Hawks, one of the only directors who could do gangster, comedy, western, drama, and they'll all be good. His Girl Friday, the Oxbow incident, so important to today. Again, this is my opinion, not TCM's or any affiliates or anyone. Before we use our last 9 minutes for Alexa, the Oxbow incident basically was just about social injustice, and basically someone's accused of something and they don't get due process. And this could be anything. So we're not alluding to Me Too or the allegations, but this movie simply said, you deserve a trial before you pay the consequence for it. And I thought that was really subversive to throw that in the schedule. Steve McQueen's Bullet played, and then they showed Kramer versus Kramer, which is a great movie, but they had the director there, Robert Benton, who wrote it also, and Leonard Maltin. So those are, you know, check out Kramer versus Kramer. It will make you sad. It is tough to watch, but sometimes films isn't all shits and giggles. So with that, we also want to let you know some of these films, if you haven't heard of, because I'm realizing now at my age that some films I loved as a kid are 30 years old. And that leads me into one last thing before we jump to reviewing Alexa's film, is that on the schedule was Bull Durham. And that came out when I was like 9. And I was thinking, no way, Bull Durham's playing with Strangers on a Train, which Danny DeVito's Throw Mama Off the Train is a remake of Strangers on a Train. I thought, there's no way. How is Once Upon a Time in the West on the same schedule as Bull Durham? And then I thought, oh, it's 30 years later. So with that, Carolyn, you have we have 7 minutes here. Of course, we got to see Alexa's film, or support Alexa's film. And she did do a full interview, but we wanted to review it because we'll be coming out with another review episode as our wrap. So, Carolyn, feel free to Alexa's film was The Trial of Mary Astor, so timely and relevant, which Alexa did not know that what was going to happen happened in Hollywood, obviously. So this is about the treatment of women, and this is called Scandal, The Trial of Mary Astor. She was being bugged by all the studio heads because she had cheated on her husband. So Carolyn, leaving out that Alexa's our friend and family, tell us what you thought of her doc, Scandal, The Trial of Mary Astor, and please look her up.
I thought it was very, first of all, it was very entertaining. You know, documentaries sometimes are just so facts, you know. I think it was very well produced and edited and informative. I appreciated that part of it. What was interesting about the storyline is, like Paul said, it's about an actress who cheats on her husband, and then they get a divorce. And the way that she managed her peace of mind was she'd write diaries to herself. She had diaries. And so she was being blackmailed by her husband, her ex-husband, that he would put these public. And that's a very scandalous thing, you know, in that particular time. Look how far we've come in terms of now something like that, where you just kind of go, what? It's okay. So anyway, it was a woman that had, you know, she had talent. She had a craft. She was under the thumb of the studios.
So you have the context, all people were a studio owned you. You could only work for one studio. And
they basically told her, you know, you got to just, you got to concede and get this over. We don't want the press. And she just put her foot down and said, I don't care. I'm fighting for the custody of my child, and I'm going to do whatever it takes. And if it means I lose my career, so be it. If it means you sue me, so be it. So basically that's, you know, it was about a strong woman, and she made a choice, and yes, there's consequences, so it's out there, you know, and you have to go through this rough road, but she did it, you know, she went through it, and I think the documentary helps you see that, you know, you do something, you got to take responsibility, you got to step up, do what you got to do, and it was interesting, too, because some of her her, I guess they would be called, I bet they would be her great nieces were there. She had some family members in the audience.
Yes. Mary Astor's daughter was there.
Yeah,
and
so that that was really, it was really nice. It was a really, I thought it was very well done, and the room was filled with people. And like Paula said earlier, you know, Alexa started this project before this whole women's movement had come to the forefront. So
which she's been working for women's rights in film for over
30
years.
Right.
And she's been trying to get her own stuff made. So, sorry, go ahead. So I just wanted to give that context, but go ahead. While I'm saying
so, I mean, I think that that's the key to it all, too, is that, you know, yes, there's these movements, and yes, we have all this immediate information we can get now in different sources of media and internet, and even, you know, this forum, like when we tell you something, you know, you should still check the facts, you know, check it up, look it up, go after what you want to know to be true, and do your best. So I really enjoyed being with you tonight, Paul, and thank you for the opportunity of going in your place. You know, I'm sorry you couldn't make it to that festival. I know you were
it was bummers to miss that night.
Yeah.
I really wanted to be there that night. Yeah. But also what you guys got to know about this documentary, it's narrated by Lee Grant, who won an Oscar for Hal Ashby's Shampoo. And Lee Grant was a blacklisted actress. Robert Osborne was one of the consultants. We're not going to share that story about what he did. But he was a consultant. And Alexa really worked hard on this. It wasn't, oh, she's a senior researcher at TCM. Every intro you've ever seen, well, 90% of them, she was editing it, writing it, anything. And so you guys need to know that basically she's influenced all of us. So if you've ever watched Turner Classic Movies, Alexa has influenced you. With that, in our wrap show will be other special guest hosts who will be calling in. Her and I are going to decide what films we want to review, talk about, not argue about, but possibly have disagreements and opinions. She's a very, some people tell me I know a lot. I know nothing when I'm talking with this guest. Her father wrote Woody Allen's first couple of movies, and so she's got that connection. And so, yeah, we're going to be back with a wrap of a few films and a guest with a wonderful connection to Turner Classic Movies. Thank you so much, Chris, Gladys, the person that helped Carolyn get her badge for Club TCM. We just want to say thank you to all of you. And please, doesn't matter if the movie's black and white, watch it. Even like Martin Scorsese says, if you watch a movie, even if you see one shot that you liked, it was worth it. Take care. Have a great night. Thank you, TCM, for letting us enjoy this, the seventh year. And aloha to all.